The Friends of Mount Gambier Parks have just received nearly $30,000 to continue their project to rebuild the numbers of the endangered Glenelg spiny crayfish, or prickly-back as it's sometimes known. It's quite a shy crayfish that lives in the freshwater rivers and ponds, and so I headed out with habitat conservationist ecologist Oisin Sweeney at dusk to find out a little bit more about this prehistoric-looking creature.
We're on a river called the Crawford. In southwest Vic, we're in a large state forest called the Hotspur State Forest, and this particular section of the Crawford is flowing out and creating this large open pool that you can see in front of us. We're after a very special invertebrate called the prickly-back or the Glenelg spiny crayfish. It's a nationally endangered species, and myself and Nick and Lauren are trying to catch some so that we can primarily take genetic samples to compare the genetic structure of these populations in southwest Victoria with our ones in southeast South Australia. So the way we go about it is we've got 22 nets, and we distribute them throughout this pool, usually close to the edge but some out in the middle too, to try to capture a variety of different habitats and locations. And then periodically we'll go out and we'll pull those nets up, and fingers crossed we get a few crayfish in them.
It's just on dusk, it's just starting to get dark here. Why are we actually out at this time?
Well, in South Australia we find that we can fish for crayfish during the day and in the evening. They don't really show any preference to light regime. But having spoken to several experts in Victoria, they tend to think that it's much better to fish for crayfish here at night time. So we've come out at dusk to set our nets, and we'll continue fishing here probably until the early hours of the morning.
And you gave them their little treat of cow's liver. What else do they eat when they're here?
They're very unfussy. They'll eat whatever comes their way. So quite a lot of the time they're what we call detritivores, so they eat rotting material, say rotting logs, leaves, things like that. If they're lucky enough to come across a rotting fish or a kangaroo, they'll tuck into that as well. So really, it makes catching them that little bit easier because they're not too fussy what they get.
And you've just received an NRM community grant for nearly $30,000. What's actually going to be done with that money?
It's really building on a previous grant that was awarded, which really focused on the South Australian populations. So it allowed us to do some population monitoring that we hadn't previously done. It allowed us to really get a handle on the good populations in South Australia, but it also posed a lot of questions as well as answering them. So, and one of the questions that we have is, in South Australia, these pricklybacks are highly isolated in various creeks and springs, and the populations don't mix. We strongly suspect. So what we want to do is compare those populations in South Australia with these ones in southwest Victoria, which are present in a much larger catchment area and which we think have much higher connectivity probably than the South Australian ones. That's only one element of the grant, really. The other really important aspects of it are that we restore a lot of riparian vegetation in the creeks and rising springs in South Australia, so we'll have a focus on that, and the other main thrust will be on community engagement, so raising the profile of pricklybacks and making sure that people know and understand how valuable they are and how vulnerable they are.
So I've got a net here quite close to the bank. Should we go and see whether there's anything in it?
You might even be able to pull it up if you're lucky.
Oh, yeah, great job.
Gosh, they're massive.
Awesome.
Oh wow, he's all caught up in the net.
He's a she.
Oh, wow.
She might well have eggs too. She's holding her abdomen tight shut.
So Nick, you're an aquatic ecologist. What do you now do with these pricklybacks once they've been caught?
So we get information on their weight and their length, and also if their sex, if they're male or female, and if they're female, if they're carrying eggs. So they carry the eggs under the tail, so you just carefully open the tail and just to observe eggs there, just to see if they're reproducing in the area, because it's often difficult to catch the really small juveniles, so it's a good indication if they're breeding that the population's in fairly good condition.
And I can see here you've also got some little clippers. What do you do with them?
So we're catching them here for a genetic study. So we took some samples from the South Australian population just to see how genetically diverse they are, and the results are a little bit worrying, showing that they're quite related, the individuals we're getting from the various rising springs near Port Macdonald. So we've come over to Victoria just to get some samples, just to put the South Australian population in context. So we'll take a little clip from the tail, and then that'll be sent off to be analysed genetically, I guess.
And have you found many females that do have eggs?
Yeah, it's pretty common. If you're catching them at a site at this time of year, so in July, August, sort of the breeding season, the majority of females, if they're mature, which are the larger ones, will be in berry or carrying eggs.
And are you pretty happy with the catch rates that you've got here tonight?
Well, yeah, it's a lot better than the last couple of days. We've had 20 nets in, we've pulled them twice, and we've caught 13 or 14 crayfish, so it's quite low, but it's compared to how we've been going in the catch in the Glenelg Basin, it's pretty good.
And how important is this work?
Vital. It's absolutely vital. They're nationally endangered, and yeah, any information on the species, even basic distribution stuff, is important, but the genetic is also important, just to see how vital the populations are in South Australia, if they are distinct sort of genetic units, or if they're diverse with the similar to the Victorian ones. So we can sort of look at management options if we need to manage them separately, or we can manage the species as a whole across its range.
Aquatic ecologist Nick Whiterod. And finally,